And I'm Steve Inskeep in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Republican convention began this week with some discord, but the party's nominee got the result he wanted last night.
Donald J. Trump, having received a majority of these votes, entitled to be cast at the convention, has been selected as the Republican Party nominee for President of the United States.
And on the second night of the convention, Donald Trump appeared for the second time, this time by video from New York.
Today has been a very, very special day. Watching my children put me over the top earlier, the party seal, I mean what we did, getting the party's nomination, I'll never forget it. It's something I will never, ever forget.
His son declared New York's votes, which did put him over the top, getting him a majority of delegates and the formal nomination. NPR's Scott Detrow has been following the convention all week with us here in Cleveland. Is this convention stabilizing, Scott?
I think it is. Last night was a very standard convention night, especially compared to Monday. And I think a lot of that has to do with Republicans being united when it comes to opposing Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one big moment last night is Chris Christie, New Jersey governor, attacking Clinton, framing his speech as a trial of her and her career. That got the crowd shouting guilty, chanting lock her up. And party unity opposition to Clinton is why you have Trump skeptics like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell addressing the convention and having a message they feel like they can honestly deliver.
Okay, one thing they can agree on, even if not all of them agree on, Donald Trump. Let's bring in someone who's been covering Hillary Clinton. NPR's Tamara Keith is on the line from Washington, D.C. Hi, Tam.
Hi.
What's Hillary Clinton been doing all week?
Well, she was campaigning in Las Vegas yesterday, and she described the first night of the GOP convention as surreal, and she said it reminded her of The Wizard of Oz.
And there were similarities that appeared to me. You know, lots of sound and fury, even a fog machine. But when you pulled back the curtain, it was just Donald Trump with nothing to offer to the American people.
Instant fact check. It looked like a fog machine on TV, but there actually was no fog machine.
Thanks for clarifying that. Appreciate it. Go on.
Got a fact check. While Clinton was in Las Vegas, she also collected an endorsement from the Influential Culinary Union, which has been an extended fight with Donald Trump in Las Vegas, actually. And she used it as an opportunity to reprise her attacks on Trump about his business practices, failing to pay contractors what they're owed. And just for good measure, she called on him to release his tax returns.
Okay, something that many presidential candidates too there's also a Democratic counter convention. Is that right?
Well, that might be a bit much, but they are doing rapid response. They're doing press conferences. The inbox is full of emails and web videos. And yesterday, the Clinton campaign also tried a pretty ridiculous gimmick. For several hours, they had a stream up on Facebook Live, and they had various staffers reading the titles of all the lawsuits involving Donald Trump and his companies. There are more than 3,000 of them, so it took a long time. Here's just a little clip.
Hi, I'm Marlon Marshall, Director of State Campaigns and Political Engagement for the Hillary Clinton campaign. Trump Taj Mahal, Associate Plaintiff versus Joe Stephen Nesbitt, Defendant. Trump Taj Mahal, Associate Plaintiff versus Jimmy Sebastiano, Defendant.
And it went on like that for hours and hours. The campaign also this week launched a massive voter registration drive. And voters in swing states and those watching on cable, so lots of people watching the debate or watching the convention, are seeing a heavy dose of paid advertising, not from Trump, but from Clinton. And there's one ad in especially heavy rotation called Role Models that shows little kids watching television as Trump deliver some of the most controversial lines things he's said.
Yeah. Seen that ad. And now we're going to see in the few days to come, see the vice presidential choice from Hillary Clinton. Tamara, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That's NPR's Tamara Keith. Now, Donald Trump has not been doing well among Latino voters, but his campaign wants to change that tonight. Here's NPR's Esma Khalid.
Meet Ralph Alvarado.
I'm a physician, delegate from Kentucky. I represent the central part of the state.
Alvarado is one of the primetime speakers tonight and one of the few Hispanics on stage at the RNC. A couple months ago, he said he wrote an email to some folks involved in national campaigns to say he was concerned.
The talk about Hispanics and that sort of thing, and I said I wanted to make sure that somebody at this convention or give a speech about what Hispanics are.
So the Trump campaign sent him an invite. Alvarado says Trump was not his first choice, but he's fully behind him now and wants to help.
We've got to get the right people, and I think I can hopefully provide, at least for one night, a fresh face with a perspective of a son of immigrants to say, here's what I think is important, what I think all Hispanics share with Republicans.
No doubt there are some Latinos who've loved Trump from day one, but many conservative Hispanics were on the fence. Alfonso Aguilar is an activist who vowed he would never support Trump, but this week he endorsed him. I asked him why he changed his mind.
We had the terror attack in Orlando. We're having escalating racial tension in the country. And I think all these things are a byproduct of the Democratic policies that we have seen in the last 8 years.
Aguilar admits he's not enamored with Trump's rhetoric, and he was no fan of the focus on illegal immigration Monday night. But he's pragmatic.
I will continue fighting for an immigration reform that includes legalization, but I want to make sure I'm in a position to be able to influence the process.
Aguilar wants a seat at the table. Earlier this week, I went to a breakfast where about a dozen GOP Hispanics met over quiche and Mexican pastries. They were discussing how to get more Latinas in office. And that's where I met 22-year-old Ivana Maria Bengochea. During undergrad, she was the president of the College Republicans at Columbia University. I asked her what she thinks of the party's nominee.
I'm not convinced yet. Maybe I can become convinced. I'm not sure. But at this stage, I would not be able to say to you that I, would be voting for him.
Bengochea is Cuban-American. Historically, they've been one of the most loyal GOP constituencies. But she does not like how Trump talks about minorities, and she wants immigration reform.
And I just think it's so important that at the end of the day, if you are a politician in this country, you are in charge of such a melting pot of ideas and religions and values that we need to come together.
The Trump campaign intends to start a more focused effort to reach out to Hispanics soon after the convention. But the question is that too late? Bengochea is considering voting for a Libertarian, or possibly even Hillary Clinton. Asma Khalid, NPR News, Cleveland.